The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Kedushin Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says that if a person sells Eved to somebody else, a slave, and it turns out that he's a listim mezuyin or muchtav l'malchus, so kalo islohu. Since there's a koil, and people would know whether or not the slave is listed mezuyin or muchtav l'malchus, therefore, according to some rishonim, it would not be considered a mekach tos if, in the end, it turns out that he has this mum. So the question is, how far to take this rule? We seem to be presented with a rule that any time a person should have known about the issue with the object that he was buying, the halacha would be that he would not be able to return later and be mevatel the sale because of the halacha of a mekach tos. The question would be, would that apply also to a situation where the person could have checked out the item, he had the opportunity to verify whether or not the item had the specific mum, and he didn't do so, he went ahead and bought the item without checking it out, would that also be a reason not to be mevatel the mekach and to say that it's a mekach tos? So the Magen Mishnah indeed takes this position. He brings a raya from a Gemara in Ksubas that as long as the person had the opportunity to verify whether or not the object that he was buying has a mum, he would then not have the right to be mevatel the mekach once it turns out that it does have that mum. The Pesachei Tshuva, the Sma brings down the Magen Mishnah Lalocha, that any time a person could have checked out the object, he has no right to be mevatel the mekach. The Pesachei Tshuva brings down that some Achrayim argued on the Magen Mishnah. These were the Maritats and the Ranach. The Ranach claims that since the Rishonim say clearly that there's no time limit for being mevatel mekach because of a mum, it would seem to appear that these Rishonim disagree with the Magen Mishnah. In other words, since the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam all say that although the halacha by Eino is, when the price is not the right price in a mekach, the halacha is that the buyer or the seller, whoever got cheated on the price, only has a right to come back and try to recoup the money that they lost, or be mevatel mekach, only as long as they didn't wait around. But once they waited around longer than they should have, the halacha is that they can no longer be mevatel the mekach or try to reclaim the money that they lost because of the fact that they got cheated. The Rambam, Rif, and the Rosh say that mekach tos is different. Although a person had an opportunity to check out whether or not an item had a mum, he nevertheless would be entitled to be mevatel the mekach even if he waited around and didn't check it out. So the Ranach claims that according to the Rosh, Rambam, and Rif, who take this position, they would obviously be arguing on the Magen Mishnah, who says that if I could have checked out the item and didn't do so, then I would nevertheless be able to mevatel the mekach because of a mum. However, other Achrayim, the Shvus Yankiv and others, disagree, and they say that the two cases have no comparison. The Magen Mishnah is discussing a situation where I didn't have to go into the mekach in the first place. I was able to check out and verify whether the mekach has a mum before I even purchased it in the first place. In that case, the Magen Mishnah holds that since you didn't have to initiate the mekach, you could have checked it out and realized that it has the mum that you're so concerned about, you wouldn't afterwards be able to go ahead and be mevatel the mekach. However, the Rosh, Rif, and Rambam are all discussing a different case. They're discussing a case where the person didn't have the opportunity to verify whether or not the mekach had the mum. Their case is where the person was not able to verify before the mekach. Only after the mekach, the person had the opportunity to check it out. In that case, they say there's no rush. Once you already made the mekach, there's no rush to check out whether or not it has the mum. So la halacha, there seems to be a strong consensus to side with the position of the Magen Mishnah. Although in a case where there's a muchzik, the muchzik is the other one, it's not clear. Another case discussed, similar to this case, is the question of whether or not a person has a right to be mevatel mekach after the person already used the mekach, having realized already that there is a mum. Let's say a person buys something and he realizes that there's a mum, and he continues to use it with the intention of going and being mevatel mekach. So the halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that The person cannot be mevatel mekach if he uses it after he finds out that there's a mum. If a person wants to be mevatel mekach because of a mum, he has to make sure that he doesn't use the mekach at any point after he realizes that there's a mum. However, there's a very interesting case in the Pesachei Tshuva, and the applications of that case are the subject of great dispute among contemporary dayanim. The Pesachei Tshuva brings down a case where a person bought a horse, and he took it on a trip, and the horse was pulling a wagon full of a lot of merchandise, and the person during the trip realizes that this horse is not up to par. He doesn't approve of the performance of the horse. He wants to return the horse. He says that there's a mum, but now he's stuck in the middle of the desert. So he turns around and drives the horse back to his point of departure, and he attempts to return the horse to its former owner. So the former owner says, why did you use the horse after you realize that there's a mum? You continue to use it to schlep, to pull the wagon full of merchandise. Why were you able to do that? Why were you able to ride on the horse back to me? So the Pesachei Tshuva brings down that in this case, the mekach would be batel. We wouldn't say that since he used the horse, that would be a reason to say that he loses his right to void the sale because of mekach tos. No, since he was stuck in the desert, and he had no other option other than to use the horse, so therefore he would be entitled to use the horse and still come back and claim that the sale should be voided because of the mum. The question is how far to apply this Pesachei Tshuva. The Arda Yonim will say that we don't really understand the svar of the Pesachei Tshuva. Who cares that you're in the middle of the desert and you have no other options? Nevertheless, since you know that the sale is going to be voided, it will be voided l'mafreya. L'mafreya retroactively will say that the sale had no validity, and therefore the item belonged all along to the seller. What right do you have to use somebody else's item without permission? Let's say I'm in the desert and I have a lot of merchandise. I have no other way to get back home. I see somebody else's horse. Do I have a right to go ahead and take that horse without his permission? Draft that horse into my service just because I'm in the desert and I find it inconvenient to try to get my merchandise back home without his horse? That is the question that a lot of dayanim have on this Pesachei Tshuva, and therefore a lot of dayanim say that although the Pesachei Tshuva said this halacha, nevertheless we should not try to apply this halacha to other situations on our own. It's only in the case of the Pesachei Tshuva talks, where you're in a desert with merchandise or the horse. It's a very limited halacha. I don't know exactly how much they're going to limit it, but it's certainly some people take the position that this halacha should not be overextended. However, I heard a svara from my Rebbe, Rebisser Wolfson, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, that an explanation of this Pesachei Tshuva, which may allow us to extend it a little bit more than what these dayanim are suggesting. He explained that the svara of the Pesachei Tshuva is as follows. The halacha is that, supposing that the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses a case where a man wanted to marry a woman wanted to marry a certain man. The man didn't really want to marry her. He needed a place to store his merchandise. So he decided, you know what, I'll marry this woman, and then she'll allow me to store my merchandise, and then I'll go ahead and divorce her. That's what the man did. He did kedushin. He got engaged to her, and then as soon as he was engaged, he said, okay, I'll rent you I'll let you use this warehouse of mine. And then after all his merchandise was safely stored in the warehouse, he went ahead and wrote a get and divorced her, and the marriage was ended happily ever after. So the woman was obviously not too pleased about this, and she took the merchandise, she sold some of it, she hired workers, and they took all the merchandise and threw it out into the street. So the Gemara says that since the man behaved in ways which were not proper, he was conniving, he tricked the woman into allowing him to use his place, therefore kasher asa ken yasa loy, what he has done will be done back to him. If gemula yashu b'raisha, revenge was taken on him, and we're not, and the woman did the right thing by using his merchandise and hiring workers to throw it out into the street, and whether or not something happens to it afterwards is not our problem, because he had no right to trick her into allowing him to use her warehouse in the first place. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha, and in the Shulchan Aruch it seems to come out in Siman Shin Yud Tes that the halacha would be that in a situation where the man was not conniving, and he didn't do anything of this type of this kind of situation where we want to punish him, the halacha would be that the woman would have had to tell the man before she threw out the stuff into the street, even though she has the right to revoke permission on the usage of her warehouse. Nevertheless, if she takes his items and throws them into the street without notifying him first, she would be considered a mazik. So, Rabbi Yisrael Wolfson made the following argument. He said, just like we see over there, that if the man had not done something wrong, something conniving and evil to this woman, we would, although he doesn't necessarily have permission at this point to use the warehouse, she has the right to revoke her permission at this point, nevertheless, she would have to notify him before she throws items onto the street. Although he is using her warehouse without permission. The reason would be because since he put his items in there with permission, if she goes and throws the man onto the street, she's considered a mazik. So Mr. Wolfson argued that the same kind of reasoning could be used over here in the case of the Pesach Tshuva. Since it is not, although it's not necessarily only the moicher's fault, the seller's fault, that the lekeach finds himself in this predicament. Maybe the moicher didn't know. Maybe the seller didn't know that there was this moment in the horse. Nevertheless, it is because of the moicher's actions that the buyer finds himself in the middle of a desert with a horse and with a horse that doesn't belong to him, carrying all of his merchandise. So if the seller were to tell the buyer, I don't allow you to use the horse anymore. You must take your things off of the horse and bring the horse back to me without using it to pull your wagon. Then the seller would be it would be tantamount to taking the buyer's items and throwing them into the desert and not leaving him away to go ahead and bring them back to the city. Therefore, the seller has no right to do that. The seller has no right to withhold usage of his horse and to say that you have no right to use my horse, because by doing so, he's causing damage to the buyer. He has no right to cause damage to the buyer by throwing the buyer's items off of the horse and not allowing him to use the horse anymore. If we accept this understanding of the Pesach Tshuva, then it gives us a certain understanding of the Pesach Tshuva, and we may be able to apply it. It would seem, according to this understanding, that in any situation where the buyer would have any kind of hezek, because any kind of damage would be inflicted upon the buyer because of the fact that the seller is not allowing him to use the item, the buyer would then have the right to use the item despite the fact that he did not ask permission from the seller, since the seller has no right to cause any damage to him. So, for example, in a situation where a woman buys a shetel and she finds herself in the middle of the street, and she realizes that there's a mum in the shetel, we wouldn't tell her she has to take off the shetel immediately and go home with that, and cover her head with her pocketbook or something like that, because that's considered a hezek. Taking a woman's hair covering off of her head in the middle of the street is considered a busha for its baishas. It's a hezek. We have no right, the seller has no right to force her to be embarrassed in this kind of way just because he doesn't want to give her permission to use his item. Also, let's say somebody buys an item from a suit or a shetel from a seller, and the person has a wedding in a few days, and the person has no opportunity to go ahead and buy another suit and get it tailored, and or buy a shetel and have it made, and he's going to be very embarrassed by the wedding. It's possible, very possible, that we can extend the halacha l'pesach tshuva to that case, because we find by poyalim we find that it's considered a hezek. If a poyal guarantees an employer that he's going to make sure to be there for the wedding, to do music or to bring clothing or something like that for the wedding, that would be considered a davarov, or the pile would be considered a grumab and a zakin. It would be considered to a certain extent a mazik if he does not do the work in the time that he was supposed to do it, and therefore the person finds himself without these items for the wedding. So therefore, since by Pilem it would be considered a davar avod, and the poskim seem to indicate that it would have a halach of grumman nizak, and the Pilem would not be allowed to be chayzer, the Pilem would be obligated to do the work. Therefore, one may argue that the same halacha would apply to the situation of a buyer and a seller, that if the seller sold a shetel or a suit and the mum is noticed before the wedding, that the buyer would have a right to use it by the wedding.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.